You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, this show is solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, hey, time now, 2:07 PM. It is Tuesday. It is Election Day. Show, we got lots on the ticket there. But let me get into my comments for the day. And I got to tell you, as I was thinking through this, I was sort of revisiting in my mind some things that I said yesterday. I had a spur-of-the-moment soliloquy yesterday about folks who get elected to office and then never leave. And why is that? Well, listen, let me back up and say this. I've had a chance to do some traveling in my lifetime for both personal and professional reasons. I've been able to see some far corners of the globe. But it's also something that could be said about several layers of my family, my parents, my grandparents, my brother. They've all been some traveling folks, and as a result, I've grown up seeing some interesting items in my house. And when I say that, I mean it's more than just souvenirs. These are things that kind of go beyond that, that literally speak to the places and the events where we've all been. Like I can remember as a kid, the hand-carved meerschaum pipe that my grandfather brought back from Turkey. Never allowed to touch it, but I got to see it. I remember decorated, and I still have one, decorated ceramic elephants from Vietnam, wall clocks and oil paintings from Germany. I've still got a Planet Hollywood Moscow shirt that my brother got me years ago. I personally have a brass 105mm shell from a Spectre gunship in Afghanistan and a beautiful handmade rug from there as well. I've got rifles on the wall from several generations of family members who brought them home from overseas. I got a piece of the Pentagon wall from 9/11 in a display case. I've got an umbrella stand that's really a tank shell from my dad's time as an armor officer. All these are things you can't just pick up in a souvenir shop. They have memories tied to them. And sometimes they were purchased with intent. Other times they just kind of happened into my possession. They're probably not worth much on eBay, but as far as I'm concerned, they're priceless. You know what I mean? Well, one of those strange and sort of symbolic items that I've got under a glass case on the shelf right here in the studio is something that I happened across in Baghdad. It was an unusual thing. It jumped out at me, and I thought, well, that's going home with me. It's a cast black metal medallion. It's about 3 inches in circumference. It's not too old, despite some of the imagery on it, 1987, I believe. On one side is an ancient Arabic symbol of a man playing a harp. But the imagery that really caught my attention was what was on the opposite side. It's an image of the profile of the ancient Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar II, and superimposed over his image is the profile of the former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. When I found the medallion at a bazaar in Baghdad, it was only a few months after a tattered and bedraggled Saddam was pulled out of a dirt hole by U.S. Special Forces. But during his reign, the hubris of Saddam knew no bounds. Saddam Hussein considered himself to be the reincarnation, or at very least, the one who possessed the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. It was the ultimate in hubris, a pride that gave him justification to declare his own identity and do whatever he deemed necessary because he was who he said he was. And during his reign, Saddam literally tried to repeat the feats of Nebuchadnezzar, and this was one of the reasons that Israel took his threat so seriously, since it had been Nebuchadnezzar that had destroyed Jerusalem and the temple the first time. Whenever Nebuchadnezzar made a conquest, he used the stolen wealth to build monuments to his own glory, such as the legendary Hanging Gardens of Babylon. In testimony to his grandeur, each brick was inscribed with Nebuchadnezzar's name. Well, not to be outdone, when Saddam Hussein pronounced himself as the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, and he dreamed of restoring the Babylonian Empire to its former size and glory, he ordered the rebuilding of Babylon. Saddam commissioned archaeologists to restore the city and its hanging gardens, and like Nebuchadnezzar 2,500 years earlier, each new brick in the new Babylon was inscribed, but this time with Saddam's name. During the course of the dig, archaeologists uncovered a plaque on the ancient city gate proclaiming Nebuchadnezzar's greatness, so Saddam ordered stonemasons to place another plaque on the opposite side of the gate, glorifying the greatness of Saddam Hussein. With his megalomaniacal vision in place, Saddam embarked on a campaign of terror and conquest, first in Iran, then in Kuwait. Ultimately, he dreamed of recapturing Jerusalem, so I look at that medallion that's sitting on the shelf right now in front of me, and I can't help but think, though, about the end of that story. For both Nebuchadnezzar and Saddam. The book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 30, it describes the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar by saying, quote, He was driven from mankind. He ate grass like oxen, and his body was washed by the dew of heaven until his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. He basically lost his mind and became a wandering vagrant eating grass with wild hair. Not much different than Saddam, who was driven into a hole, grimy and disheveled, reduced like his ancient hero to the dustbin of history. Saddam was eventually left hanging with a noose around his neck. Now, I say all this to get to a finer point, but let me put a disclaimer on it first. As I talk about elected officials, please understand I am not in any way implying that elected officials here in Alabama or in D.C. are tyrants on the order of Saddam Hussein. Not at all. I'm not doing that. But the analogy I want to make, though, is something that I touched on yesterday and something that I draw from when I see that medallion sitting on my shelf. The fact that too many of our elected officials find their identity in their position or their office. If you've ever wondered why some people stay in office for so many years, you may find that it's because they have an identity crisis. They cannot imagine life without the affirmation of the voters and the acclaim of being an elected official. It's not every one of them who stays longer than a few terms. I mean, not always, but there are plenty. I mean, why did Joe Biden run for president after 40 years in office with questionable health? Because I think he's lost without it. That's why. Why are Nancy Pelosi or Richard Shelby or Kay Ivey still in public office at such a late point in their lives? I mean, Kay Ivey is going to be in her 80s when this term ends. Richard Shelby will be almost 90 when he steps down. Nancy Pelosi just turned 82. Is it because they're indispensable? Is it because no one else can do what they do? Could it be that they alone can accomplish what is needed because of their knowledge and seniority and experience? Or is it because it is their identity and they have no idea what life is like outside of public office? Now, let's be clear. I know that experience counts. I also know that no elected official should ever let themselves get to the position, though, that who they are is because of what they do and that the world simply cannot live without them. Or for that matter, that because of what they do and who they believe they are, that no one can question who they are and what they do, because to do so impugns the image that they have of themselves. So yes, I grabbed that medallion when I was in Baghdad, and I've got it right now on my shelf. It's a poignant reminder that the follies and the fallacies and the foibles of men are not confined to those of us who live here in the trenches. It's very much something that also hits those in the ivory towers. So a caution to every elected official, stay humble. Be who God made you to be, but realize that what you do does not define who you are. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, it's true. I mean, you look at it and go, my gosh, do you not have grandkids? Do you not want to go see life? Do you not want to go fishing once in a while? You're going to be 90 years old when you step down. You're 82 right now and not saying whether you're going to run again. You're going to be 81 when you finish the term that you just chose not to do a debate for to win back because you're a high stepper. I mean, I look at it and go, that's your identity, isn't it? You wouldn't know what to do with yourself if you didn't have somebody vote you into office. Well, I hope it's not true, but it feels that way sometimes. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.